Puerto Rico is still dealing with power outages more than a week after Hurricane Maria swept through the island, and parts of Texas and Florida's Gulf Coast also went without electricity after Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. But backup plans are in the works, and Nathan Johnson is helping build them. He's an assistant professor in the Polytechnic School of the Ira A. Fulton Schools of Engineering at ASU and works on microgrids. And Nathan, first off, what exactly is a microgrid?
A microgrid has a few different types of characteristics. Typically, they're a collection of distributed energy resources, which includes some form of generation, diesel gas generators, solar batteries, as well as load management. There is also the ability to isolate and connect to a larger grid. Traditionally, though, microgrids have been village power systems, platform power for offshore oil rigs, or just island nation states. And so the term microgrid has actually evolved in the past 10 to 20 years to include something that would actually be connected to the grid, but isolatable.
I was going to ask for how long these have been operable, but it sounds like for at least a couple of decades. But are they sort of evolving now, their uses anyway?
They are. And actually, most all grids in the world today started as a small microgrid. Now we're coming to a point where there's more decentralized generation and distributed generation that provides itself with the opportunity to split up the larger grid into smaller subsections again for purposes of backup power, improved resiliency to natural disasters or anthropogenic attacks for the military, data centers for critical operations. You go down for a couple of minutes, it costs you tens and hundreds of millions of dollars. And also for critical operations such as hospitals and other types of services.
So in looking at a photo of one that I imagine that you are working on or that you have worked on, it looked almost like a shipping container with solar panels on and around it, and I assume a whole lot of complicated, fancy technology on the inside. Mm-hmm. Is that one that might be deployed to a place that had just undergone a natural disaster kind of thing?
That's quite right. Shipping containers, full 40-foot containers, half 20-foot, and then quads at 10 feet, are a common form factor used around the world in intermodal facilities, air freight, naval vessels, as well as on-ground transportation. And so utilizing that and then packing inside of it all of what you would need to have a turnkey operation to set up remote power. That provides an opportunity to ship something right away, get it on ground, and then set it up in the course of about 30 minutes to an hour.
So we're hearing now about how a place like Puerto Rico, after the most recent hurricane went through, so much of the island is still without power, you know, a week or so after that hurricane went through. Is that the kind of situation that a microgrid seems like it would be tailor-made for?
Exactly. And it's for Puerto Rico, for places affected by Harvey, Irma, or other types of hurricanes, even other natural disasters such as earthquakes that damage critical infrastructure. In situations like Puerto Rico, which is currently estimated right now to be without power for up to 6 months in time, these types of assets perform not just the immediate response capabilities, but then also as you transition from response into relief and then to recovery. Because these containerized units, with our current research going on at Arizona State, are intended to be parallel or more commonly known as daisy chaining. And so you can take 10 containers together and meet larger loads. What also allows you to do is reconfigure them and move them around the island as your loads, priorities, or objectives change.
So are you and your research, or maybe the industry as a whole, are you at a point now where these units could be deployed to a place like Puerto Rico, or are we not quite there yet?
We have. So Arizona State was commissioned to do the design work, integration, operation, maintenance, and testing of a prototype unit. And after completing that, it was commercialized by FastGrid, and that is available for procurement or purchase. It ships off the Gulf of Mexico, and it typically has about a 2 to 4 week lead time. And that's a nice, that's a fairly fast lead time when you consider of the months or years that you might take to design a grid-integrated microgrid system with additional capital.
Are these the kinds of things that could be pre-positioned? Because yes, 2 to 4 weeks is better than several months, but if you're in a place like Puerto Rico now where it's hot and muggy and you have no power, 2 to 4 weeks is an awfully long time.
If you have a warehousing schema, much like you're indicating, where there is a collection of these assets on certain islands in the Caribbean and the United States, it would be far more rapid within the hours of a matter of hours or days. And particularly for hurricanes, you can position the containers on the islands in preparation for the disaster. And given that they're stored in rigid form factors, they can withstand the high winds and the rains. And then after that has concluded, you can set them up in a matter of 30 minutes for emergency operations.
Do you think that we could ever be at a point where no matter what kind of natural disaster happens, that it could be a matter of hours even before people have power back if the traditional grid has been knocked down?
Power restoration following a catastrophic event has generally been seen in terms of days, weeks, or potentially months in severe cases. Getting to the point where we can respond and provide service back in hours to people that are presently connected to the grid, there's advanced monitoring capabilities that are being installed by utilities in Arizona, such as Salt River Project, Arizona Public Service, and Tucson Electric Power, and utilities around the nation to have better sensing capabilities for what's going on the grid. So now that you have an awareness of that the grid might have an outage, then how do you actually restore that service? To get that restoration down within after a critical or catastrophic event is going to require greater amounts of distributed energy resources. And so that's solar and batteries and other resources, generators distributed closer to your end loads. So if you replace a few lines, you might only satisfy a few customers, but it's going to take you a lot longer time frame to provide everyone with power back. And so by having more solar and storage near your houses or near substations or near buildings is going to be able to provide you a capability to isolate, which is that microgrid functionality, isolate from the broken grid, and then provide and meet your own loads.
Nathan Johnson with the Ira A. Fulton Schools of Engineering at ASU. Nathan, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks for having me.